Hello, my imaginary friends. SM2 in here. You can also call me Simon. It's 24th of March, 2012, and this is my audio blog. It's just before midnight, so this is definitely SM2N syndrome. Yes. Quite a good day, I think, today. Jana's been busy in the garden, got lots of things done, and I cut the lawn and spread a few more grass seed and fed the lawn as well. And nice weather again, very glorious weather again today, which is also always very, very enthusing for people, isn't it? So, lifts the spirits and the soul. Yes. And I've just been enjoying this evening a lovely, long, multifaceted multi-boo from McColgan. Really, really quite rich with different things that have gone on. So it's called Carbooty Boo. And just chronicles his session at the car boot today and all the different stories that have happened. And I think it's just really quite a nice sort of format to every now and then he's stopped to record and he's obviously gathered his thoughts in between each time he stops to record. So he's got different stories to tell throughout the day and the different perspective. Sort of the anticipation at the beginning and then the stories and then looking back at the end and all that sort of thing. I think it's just a really nice format to have this time to think in between segments recorded. Rather good. Couple of questions about that actually. So something he mentioned quite early on in the boo about, I loved the story of the bike, the selling of the bike. That was fantastic. Really, really good story. There was something he said a bit earlier on about some people will ignore the stuff on the top table or on the top of your table, and not look to buy that, but they would be intrigued to look in the boxes you've got underneath at the stuff that you'd say is not so good, but some punters want to have a look in the box instead. And I was wondering whether there's this assumption that there might be some hidden gems in there, and that as a very wise punter, I'm going to have a look in the box where no one else has looked and find the hidden gems, rather than looking at the stuff that's on top that everyone else, 100 people have already walked past and decided that they didn't want to buy that stuff, because otherwise it would have been gone by now. So, I wonder if there's an element of that people think that there are undiscovered gems. Maybe a little bit of that. I also followed along with the story about the sweet seller guy who's got to pay his £21 per stall, although Mac only pays £16 per for his stall. Why'd you pay five or less, Mac? So he's got to pay £42 for his stalls, this guy, and £10 for the petrol. So it's £52 he's already out of pocket. And he's got to sell these 52 bags of sweets to recoup that. But then, surely there's also the cost of the sweets as well. If you're just selling unwanted stuff from your garage that you no longer need, then yeah, of course you can count the cost of your stock as zero because it's stuff you'd throw away anyway. it's got no more value to you, but the guy selling sweets, he's had to pay for those. So maybe he's paid if he's paid 50p for each bag of sweets, then surely he's got to then how's the math work? He's got to sell another 26 bags to pay for the 52, the stock for the 52 he's already sold. But then he's got to pay for those 26 as well, so he's got to spend another 13, sell another 13. He's got to sell another 39 bags on top, hasn't he, in order to make back the money for that he spent to buy all those sweets. Yes, it's complex, isn't it? But hopefully he does a roaring trade on that. I can see a lot of opportunity for people, especially with young families where the kids are, can I have a bag of sweets? So I imagine he does a roaring trade. But it's interesting getting onto the mathematical problems again. Makes me think about what Akira was saying about the page numbers or lack of page numbers on Kindle. I totally understand that the number of pages would change depending on the size of the type and the size of the page. Now on the iBooks app, the Apple one that you can get on your iPhone and on your iPad, they tackle that problem slightly differently. The number of pages will just change depending if you change just the font size, and it even happens if you take the iPad and then you turn it from portrait mode to landscape mode, because when you're in landscape mode you get two pages on the screen, each page has half as much content, so the book suddenly is twice as many pages. But it all calculates on the fly. So Apple obviously decided that they think it's better to just stay with the idea of pages, even though that number of pages is a bit of an illusion, really. But they've decided to stay with that, whereas Amazon have decided to go for a percentage that's nice and simple, because you're always the same percentage through the book, no matter how small the pages are, how big they are. You're the same percentage, which to me kind of makes sense, because you would, somebody would say, I'm reading this book at the moment, and I would say, how far are you through? And you go, about a third of the way through, whatever. So, expressing it as a percentage isn't that illogical, is it really? So yeah, interesting. Anyway. Oh, here we go. JN2N's here.
Hello, sorry. I was just thinking, when you showed me earlier, it depends whether you hold it portrait or landscape and the page number changes. How are you going to tell someone which page you're on? It depends which way around you hold it, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, and what size font you've got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see? So you still can't tell anyone. So percentage is actually more accurate, even if it's not accurate at all, to say about a third way through. But better than a page is when you don't really know which page it really is in the book. So that's not accurate at all.
Well, I'm just thinking of the old days when you'd have a book, a paper book, and then somebody would ask you how far you are through it. Because I guess there were two ways of evaluating that. One would be that you would kind of just have a look where your bookmark is and just look at the edge of the book, mm-hmm. and sort of gauge on there how far you were through it. The other way to do it would be to actually say, I'll just flick forward to the end of the book and see how many pages there are, and then I'm going to look at my bookmark and calculate how far I am through. So it's a 300-page book and I've read 100 pages, that's the third kind of thing. So it depends what you do, really, there. So if you were doing that, then iBooks would would be the same. You'd already have the number of pages and how far you are through the number of pages. It wouldn't matter, because if you're doing that calculation. But then why do the calculation when the Kindle just does it for you and just makes it a percentage?
Yeah, I wouldn't do any of those things. I'd just tell people what page number I'm on. I don't know.
But haven't you ever had, you know, seen two different print editions of the same book, or the hardback versus softback, and there's a different number of pages?
Yes, but I usually know how many pages the book has. So, you know, if I'm reading Clarissa, I'll tell them it's 1,000 pages, and I'm on page 62. That's how far I've got. And if it's a modern novel and it's got 350 pages, and I'll tell them I've done 120 of that. I don't know. Sorry, that's just literature students amongst each other. So ignore me.
I think that's very interesting.
I'm not sort of, you know, general population. You shouldn't take me as, you know, what anyone else would do. I'm a bit weird like that.
So you're saying that you're not the sort of the average book reader?
Probably not, no. Not anymore, anyway, because I hardly ever read books these days. No time, unfortunately.
Well, I would certainly agree that you're not the average, because as far as I'm concerned, you're above average on so many levels.
Oh, thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Night, night. Yeah, mine does that. Annoying, isn't it?
It's really annoying. You can't...
Yeah, when you hold it on the side.